Yeah, God bless your radio audience. Evangelist Rob Wood here. If you desire to go to my website, www.robrobbw.com. And today I want to talk about timing. Timing is so critical because if the enemy can get you out of season, in other words, if you're wearing a winter coat in July when it's 95 degrees out, you're dressing out of season. If you're wearing sunblock with a bathing suit and it's February and it's 8 degrees out, and you get the drift of what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say is in the prophetic, there's application, interpretation, delivery, and timing. And I believe timing is the most critical one of the four because most people move out ahead of their time or they hesitate. And once you start hesitating, you don't pull the trigger when God tells you to do something, that's where doubt comes in. That's the opposite of, that's the enemy of faith. Now, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, write the vision, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will not speak, it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now, there are generally three seasons spiritually. There's Chronos, chronological time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, January, February, and March, 2008. There's nothing strategic about Chronos or chronological time. Then we move into what's called Kairos, which is opportune time. You sense something strategic is being birthed in your spiritual womb. You feel the baby's being born. You're about to give birth. And then we go into what's called pleru, which is the fullness of time or the completion thereof. And I believe Kairos time is the longest, is the hardest season because you do not want to move out again before or pull the trigger before God instructs you to do something prematurely. And I believe timing is so critical. Now, let me just say this. Exodus chapter 34, verse 21. 6 days you shall work. On the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest time you shall rest. See, the seventh day is the day where we cease from works. Seven, the number of perfection. The Bible says God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. Now, I don't necessarily think God needs a vacation to go to Club Med or Disney World. Disney World's not a vacation, by the way, but ask any parent that's taking their kids there. But I don't think God needs of it. He needs rest as we need rest, but we need to come apart from works and enter in to the seventh day of rest. In other words, we're not trusting in our works. There's the gift of righteousness, the gift of salvation. Even repentance is a gift. Now, God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 24, he says, Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. So, you know, Moses comes up on the mountain and God just tells him, and be there. Just get into fellowship with me, into relationship, into contemplation, into meditation. You know, meditation is not a New Age term. We're taking that back. The enemy never should have taken that in the first place. But just get in my presence and allow me to work for you. Because let me say this, the seventh day is not only you working for God, but it's when God works for you. I believe the seventh day is the day of favor. And then it says, come up on the mountain and be there. I will give you the tablets of stone, the law and the commandments. So after you've been in my presence, after you've known me, then I want you to make me known. Then I'll give you strategy. I'll give you the instructions for the people. Then Moses went up into the mountain. A cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. A cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, Exodus 24, verse 16, and on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was a consuming fire. So Moses camps out there for 40 days. On the seventh day, God manifests his presence to Moses. Now, I believe Mount Sinai was a foreshadow of Pentecost. In Acts 2 in Pentecost, God told them in the upper room, wait. Not wait, sitting back, relaxing, watching, you know, TV, but get, press into my presence, Know me so you can make me known. And let me just say this. We will never fulfill the Great Commission till we fulfill the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then the Great Commission, go ye into all the world, make this, you know, win souls, make disciples of nations, etc. So I believe Mount Sinai was a foreshadow of Pentecost. And I believe people, or the church at large, has lost the art of tarrying or waiting on the Lord. You know, we're a very impatient society. We want to pull up to a fine restaurant and think it's McDonald's, and they're going to slap an expensive $30 filet mignon in front of you in 5 minutes like it's a Big Mac. Nobody wants to wait anymore. But the Bible says, by patience you shall possess your soul. And, you know, the Bible talks about, don't become weary in well-doing. If you don't faint not, you'll reap a harvest. So we've got to outlast our contradiction. You know, here you've got Joseph, who had a dream, tells it to his brothers, he's in prison. And, you know, God suddenly comes to him one day and says, Joseph, shave and get new clothes on. You're coming out. And that's the suddenlies of God in the book of Malachi, where God suddenly comes to his temple. It's the suddenlies where you're just going about your week, you're going about your day, and all of a sudden you walk and run into a wall of God. God is just there, he overtakes you. It's the presence of the Lord. Now, let me give you an instance of someone in the Bible who didn't wait, and through repetitive disobedience and repetitive rebellion, I believe, lost everything. His name was Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Samuel tells Saul to wait for the appointed time, the same way God told Moses to wait. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, he said, therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Another translation says, I forced myself, or I was driven. So we've got to be led in life and not driven. We've got to allow the Lord to lead us, because when we're driven, we're going to formulate and we are going to make an Ishmael. And you know what happened with Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. Bible says Sarah was so old she couldn't conceive. Abraham was so old, they were past the point in the natural where they could make this happen. So Abraham takes matters into his own hands. He takes the maidservant Hagar, and he gives birth to Ishmael, which is a man-driven religion, or a tradition of man's way of trying to outdo God or help God out or give God a hand. Let me just say this. I've said this often. God never needs our help. He only needs our cooperation. We've got to do it Yahweh, and not, as Frank Sinatra said, my way. Frank would have done it Yahweh instead of my way. I don't know if he's in heaven. If he's not, we'll let the judge of the earth judge that. But another instance, I believe, in the book of Joshua, God gives Joshua instruction and strategy. See, when God gives you a strategy, you've got to allow the Lord and wait upon him, because he is the one that fights your battles for you. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, we know Jericho was securely shut up. No one could go in. No one could come out. There was walls. And God gave him instruction. Joshua 6, you shall march around the city. This you shall do for 6 days. Verse 4, 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And of course, you know, in verse 16, Joshua 6, in the 7th time it was so, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the 7th day is where we don't work for God, but where God works for us. I believe the 7th day is the day of favor. Now, favor is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Let me say that again. Favor is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. You could get a young man, he's trained his whole life, he's an athlete. Now, he's prepared himself, he now has the opportunity, let's say, to try out for the New York Yankees. So because he prepared himself, when the opportune time comes or the opportunity for him to shine, he was ready. He trained. He lifted weights. He was up an hour before everyone else training, hitting, pitching, whatever his role was. But success is what happens when preparation meets potential. So I believe there are prophets that give people prophetic words, but they don't tell them how to get to the next level. They don't give, in other words, they don't give them strategy and instruction how to get to their prophetic. So I believe prophetic words is the potential of what you can become. In other words, you've got to prove out the calling and the potential and the prophetic mantle over your life. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe many people are bought the calling and the mantle over their life because they move out of time or they hesitate. I believe it was Elisha in the Old Testament. It said, "Let us not hesitate. See now we must build a bigger place because the place we are living now is too small." So when there's time, there will be seasons when God enlarges you. But hear me out. You can't enlarge yourself because promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, doesn't come from man. It cometh from the Lord. And also I think Joshua and Caleb said, "Let us not hesitate. Let us go up at once and take that mountain." So there, you've got to live in a no hesitation zone. I believe Ruth Heflin used to say she left her bags packed by her front door. So when the Lord told her, "Go to China, go to Israel," she was already packed. Because once she started hesitating and getting in the natural, you know, we've got to be out of our mind. Not mentally, so we're nuts, but we've got to get out of the natural. We got to get out of our mind and into the spiritual realm, which is the faith realm. And, you know, this is so key in this hour where God wants to work for his church, but his church has got to allow him because, as I said before, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. And there's so many people I see that are driven in this hour. They're compelled like Saul. They're not like David. They're not waiting upon the Lord. As I said before, I believe the art of waiting upon the Lord, contemplation, meditation. You know, there was a season in my life I was always out ministering, praying for people, laying hands on people in church services, preaching, running youth ministries, always out in the streets running evangelistic teams, winning souls, and, you know, I wasn't coming apart, you know. And the Bible says Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed all night. And, you know, there's that saying, if you don't come apart, you will eventually come apart. So we've got to come apart, allow the Lord to refuel us with some Holy Ghost octane, because we can do more through him in 1 second than we can accomplish in a billion years in our own strength. It's the strength of the Lord that works through us. It's the Holy Spirit that works through us. When we prepare ourselves like Esther at 6 months in the oils, where she prepared herself in the oils of God, then she went before the king and was able to decree and declare, because she didn't go in her own authority. She went in the authority of her Savior, Jesus. So God bless you. Evangelist Rob Wood here signing out. I hope you enjoyed this show. Again, if you desire to go to my website, www.robrobb.com. God bless you. I love you, and so does the Lord Jesus.